broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Grand at Wild Horse Pass for Conscious Capitalism 2019. It's time for CEO Exclusive. Now, here's your host, Sweeney Cope.
I'm really delighted to continue our broadcast from the Conscious Capitalism Conference this year, 2019. And with me, I have John Gilman, CEO of Clear Software. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me.
Start off by telling us about Clear Software. What is it that you do? And then tell us why it was that you have chosen to be here at the Conscious Capitalism Conference. Why is this important to you and your business?
Sure. To start, Clear Software is an automation company. So we help large workforces become more efficient in their jobs and, you know, allow them to get the day-to-day tasks they do done more quickly. So, and it's kind of funny. I was stuck in an airport one time and I had finished a book and I was looking for another book to read. So I was going by one of those Hudson booksellers and I don't even remember what airport it was. It might've been Denver, New York or something. And,
one of them.
And I saw Conscious Capitalism sitting there and I kind of flipped over and read the back of it. And it's like, oh, this sounds pretty interesting. This is kind of how I've always felt about business, but I didn't know anybody had coined a phrase or developed a handbook about it. So I read it and I was just totally engrossed. I think I read it in two flights. So by the time I got home, I had to get another book. Mm-hmm. But I had never seen that codified in a way where, you know, I felt good about creating a business and creating value for people. I just thought that it was something that was in my head, and I didn't realize that there were thousands of other people out there who felt the same way.
Right. There's like a language for it, and there are people, and there's this conference, and we're working on it, and whatever.
Yep.
So from the folks that I've spoken to that are in leadership of Conscious Capitalism, they say that we're in the early adopter phase. Like, you know, it's still a fairly nascent movement.
Definitely, definitely.
Why is it that, so a lot of times when I have conversations about it, people talk about the conscious part of it, the good, the doing good through business part of it. And it sometimes gets lumped in with corporate social responsibility or corporate philanthropy. Talk to us about the capitalism part of it. How is this helping your business?
So we're in a really interesting spot because when I actually met with Raj, he came to our Indianapolis chapter kickoff, and he had spoken for a while about how he's trying to figure out a way to incorporate it into startups and early stage companies. And I grabbed him afterward and I said, you know, we're actually using it as a startup, and it's more of a helps us retain the kind of talent and the kind of people we want to bring into the company. The people that share our values are typically more engaged. They really believe in the mission of what we're doing, because ultimately we're trying to make people's lives easier through automation so they don't have to go to work and suffer through the drudgery of what they do all day. And people who buy into that stay. You know, people who are attracted to the fact that, you know, we even have a page on our website about conscious capitalism and the different areas where we're very engaged within the community, and it attracts a caliber of person that that we want within our organization, and it's certainly scalable too. When you see, you know, companies like Whole Foods and a lot of the companies that are here at this annual conference, they have a very high employee retention rate, and it's because they're attracting high quality people that believe in the mission.
Mm-hmm. So where else on the P&L, if you were looking at a P&L and talking to somebody, another CEO, about conscious capitalism, turnover obviously is a very big cost for most businesses. Where else on the P&L would you locate the work that's being done here?
Interestingly, you wouldn't believe this, because this is another weird one that I talked with Raj about. You know, he said it's not, and this was years ago, he said, you know, I've never really seen a case where it drove top line revenue. And he said, well, in our case, we've actually, our last two customers we met at Conscious Capitalism events. So it's just you know, people who
you
are, yeah,
Clear Software?
Personally, yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
So two of our Indianapolis customers we met at a chapter event, and it had nothing to do with work. You know, we had initially just, you know, met to share in the same vision, and then over time we started to get to know each other, and so it actually helped find, you know, some like-minded C-suite executives within our target audience that believed in what we believed in, and, you know, took a chance on a smaller company, because our customers are very, very large companies, and mm-hmm. we're a small company, so a lot of times there's a fear of doing business with a smaller company. So you know, knowing that they had leadership behind the small company that were committed to the same values they were committed to, help them get over that hump.
Mm-hmm. So actually, you're the first person that I've heard it say directly drive top line revenue. Now, I've heard folks say that it makes marketing easier, because their marketing costs go down significantly because you have customers and stakeholders who are evangelizing for the business.
Absolutely.
In that way. Anything else that in terms of a kind of raw red meat capitalist people who are just who might latch onto this because of the capitalist part of it?
Yeah, I think looking at the P&L and looking at some of the statistics within your organization help people realize that at first glance, a lot of the kind of the old school folks would say, oh, this is all foofy stuff. You guys are dancing around in circles and singing kumbaya at conferences, and it's not actually driving any business results. But we all know, look at the data. We look at conscious businesses and ESG businesses, and they outperform, the rest of the Fortune 500. So looking within and seeing what retention looks like, what your customer satisfaction rates are, all of that comes back to who you are and who your corporate identity is. And conscious businesses tend to have a stronger bond internally, and they have a better corporate identity externally. So people perceive Whole Foods a lot better than they do, other grocery chains that may be a little less conscious.
Mm. So as you think about your colleagues who aren't here, what do you think it's going to take to get this to tip? So for one of the things that's my dream is to have every single mid-market CEO in the country knowing about conscious capitalism, embracing the principles, understanding and believing in the benefits. What do you think it's going to take to do that?
I mean, like in business, good marketing. And good marketing, there are so many different channels. There's word of mouth, which is great, which is kind of the phase we're in right now. It's more of a grassroots movement. But, over time, referrals, one conscious business referring the concepts to another leader who, may feel it and maybe kind of on the fence and needs a little nudge over the fence. So word of mouth, networking, and then eventually, just classical marketing, just like in business, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So. And what's one thing that you would say to those CEOs, if you could say one thing about conscious capitalism to them, what would you say?
I think you have this immense feeling of relief when you attend your first chapter meeting. You feel like you've met people who are like-minded, mm-hmm. and you tend to feel isolated when you're running a business, like you've got a few people that you trust to help you, to be your right-hand folks, but you tend to not be able to share or connect with a lot of people when you're running a business. And I think when I attended my first Conscious Capitalism chapter meeting, I finally realized here are people who think like I do, encounter the same problems that I encounter. And it's almost therapeutic in a way. I know that sounds kind of cheesy to say that, but you're connecting with people on a deeper level that understand the trials and tribulations you go through and have been there, done that, and are running successful businesses.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are some of the challenges that you're seeing as CEOs try to adopt these principles? What are some of the biggest challenges you're seeing for your business as you try to bring these principles and make them, kind of come alive in your business operations?
I was actually thinking about that on the flight here today.
See,
implementation. We all get so busy at work, and some of us, work 12 or 16 hour days, and you get so into your work that you don't have time to step back and look at the bigger picture and say, hey, are we still adhering to the principles of a conscious business? And, a quarter could go by or two quarters where, we haven't done some of the things we traditionally like to do in terms of community engagement. So we're pretty heavily involved in the community in Indianapolis. And I just realized flying here that it had been two quarters since we had done an event with the four different nonprofits that we're involved with. And that's kind of when you step back and say, man, if you want to be a conscious business, you have to stick to it. You have to be willing to step back and not be so focused on execution on a day-to-day basis and say, am I still adhering to these principles? It's almost like you need to have a quarterly checkpoint to say, And I know conscious capitalism has that kind of checklist for employees.
The field guide.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And to take the survey and answer all the questions. And you almost kind of have to do that to make sure that it's still top of mind and you're thinking about it on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. And so what for the new CEO does implementation look like?
I think definitely getting the handbook and having each of your employees honestly answer some of the surveys. I think a lot of them get afraid initially to say, well, I guess I'm going to check what the CEO wants me to check on this questionnaire, as opposed to just honestly answering it and saying, you know, being upfront and saying, look, I am not going to, you know, punish anyone or, you know, think differently about somebody for answering these questions honestly. We need honest data so that we can figure out where our weaknesses are and we can improve upon that.
Hmm. And then after they've done the survey, what's next? Or the assessment?
Yeah, we look at the data, find out where, you know, where we're weak, and, you know, sit with a team in an honest open session. So every quarter after our board meetings, we have an open meeting where the entire company knows where we are financially, how our customers are doing. So we're pretty transparent about that. And part of it is listening to that feedback and prioritizing, you know, where our weaknesses are. And, you know, certain weaknesses may be more apparent than others, but maybe a lower priority. And we need to address those as a group. And I think that really helps with the bond that we have internally. People really, you know, subscribe to it and believe in it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some CEOs that I've spoken to be a little bit dismissive of the formality of conscious capitalism, kind of like, I've been doing this for years. You know, I believe in this already. I don't need some framework, you know, to be effective in adhering to these principles. Why do you think the formality is important or valuable to you?
I just think you need structure in every facet of life. It's like saying, well, you know, I kind of exercise once in a while, so I think I'm pretty good. But unless you have like a day-to-day, you know, set of goals that you're going to ascribe to, you're not going to do well in anything, let alone exercise or conscious capitalism or, you know, whatever it might be. You need to have structure. You know, it's like saying, well, you know, I've got this work thing down, so I'm just going to stop coming to the office for the next 6 months. No, you need to have structure. There needs to be a method to the madness in order to see the results.
Great. What is the, so before we get to that, one question I forgot to ask at the beginning of the interview, what's your higher purpose or your company's higher purpose or both? Either your higher purpose, whichever one you want to answer.
Our company's higher purpose is definitely to make people's business lives easier. You know, back in my consulting days, I worked for Accenture and Deloitte, two of the, you know, big giant consulting firms, and we would implement business software and just see people so frustrated in their day-to-day jobs, and that honestly bothered me because companies would spend hundreds of millions of dollars implementing that software, and then their workforce would say, my job is 10 times worse than it used to be. So that really started to bother me, and we wanted to create something that allowed them to come to work and get their jobs done quickly and less miserably than they used to do it before. So our higher purpose has always been about the satisfaction that knowing what we're doing makes people's lives easier. And, you know, it's not just the rank and file folks whose lives are made easier, but it's also, you know, managers and executives above them who are seeing the productivity gains that help them run a better business.
Great. Great. What's the one thing, last question, what's the one thing you want to get out of your conference this year?
I came with an open mind. The last few times I've come, I had specific agendas, and I tended to ignore some of the other things that I found interesting during the cocktail hours and the after hours. So this time I kind of want to float like a twig on the shoulders of a mighty stream and see what's
That's
new.
So poetic. So,
I think I stole it from John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I've never seen the movie, so yeah. You could have plagiarized. I wouldn't have known.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you so much, John. It's been wonderful having you on the show, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your conference.
Right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Bye now. Yay. Thank you, John.